This is Gareth Southgate, and this is the Three Lions Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Three Lions Podcast. My name is Russell Osborne, and this is an independent England football supporters podcast. How are you? I hope I find you well. Hope you've had a pleasant Easter break. So here we are back again, so soon after the men's review episode, after those games against Brazil and Belgium. Hope you enjoyed those. If you've missed them, they are available at your podcast provider of choice, or ThreeLionsPodcast.com. Now this time it's the turn of the Lionesses, who are back in action once again following those matches against Austria and Italy towards the end of February. Those, as I'm sure you know, were just friendlies. Since then, we now know our opponents for our Euro 2025 qualifying journey. On the 5th of March, the draw was made for the qualifiers in Lyon in France with former German national player and Ballon d'Or winner Nadine Kessler. She was in charge of hosting the event. She's now head of women's football at UEFA. And with the finals being held in Switzerland next year, she was joined by former Swiss goalkeeper Gail Thielmann to pull the balls out of the pots and the names out of the balls. In the past, European draws for the women have been in the same format as the men's, where a group was formed of teams from pots 1 to 5, teams of different levels of quality. For example, Germany, who the Lionesses beat in the 2022 final, their qualifying draw for that tournament saw them from pot 1, Ukraine from pot 2, Republic of Ireland from pot 3, Greece from pot 4, and Montenegro from pot 5. That campaign saw Germany win games 10-0, 2 8-0s, a 6-0, and a 5-0, and they only conceded one goal. And this, coupled with England's 20-0 win over Latvia in the World Cup qualifiers and Belgium beating Armenia 19-0, UEFA wanted to try and level the playing field slightly. So the qualifiers were amended to be more like the Nations League qualifiers. So as I've mentioned before, there will be the top 4 A-leagues and they'll all play 6 matches. The top 2 from each A-League will qualify for the 2025 Euros. So that's 8 teams. There will be then 7 playoffs, so 7 playoff winners, added to your top 8 League A qualifiers. Throw in Switzerland as hosts, and you have your full complement of 16 teams. So let's cut to the chase. England were initially drawn in pot 2, along with Denmark, Italy and Austria, which thankfully meant after playing 2 of those recently, we couldn't meet them in qualifying. As the balls came out, we were paired with France from pot 1, Sweden from pot 3 and the Republic of Ireland from pot 4. Shortly afterwards, the dates and venues were announced. We play Sweden at home on the 5th of April, that's at Wembley. A few days later, away to the Republic of Ireland, that's going to be at the Aviva Stadium. The 31st of May, France at home up in Newcastle. Then away to France in St Etienne on the 4th of June. And then in July, we've got the Republic of Ireland at home, that's going to be in Norwich at Carrow Road. And then we finish the campaign on the 16th of July, away to Sweden in Gothenburg. So let's just take a quick look at the history between all those teams, Sweden, Ireland and France. Sweden, there have been a couple of big games between us and Swedes over the years. Our most recent meeting was one of those, Euro 2022, the semi-final at Bramall Lane in Sheffield. In what, on paper, looks a one-sided match, England winning 4-0, but it was far from that. But it was the game where Alessia Russo scored her famous back heel.
Saving it then! What was that?
The sheep! I mean, if that had been today in training, I'd been straight over to Alessia Russo and absolutely having a go.
But one of our earlier meetings was back in 1984, the European Championship finals. Back then, the finals were played over two legs, home and away. England lost 1-0 in Sweden, but won the second leg 1-0 at Luton Town's Kenilworth Road, on a pitch that resembled more of a mud bath than a football pitch. It ended 1-1 on aggregate, which meant it went to penalties, which Sweden won 4-3. And there was also the 2019 third place match in France at the World Cup, which Sweden won 2-1. Overall, we've met on 27 occasions, only winning 4, drawing 8, and we've lost 15 times. Now, we have never beaten Sweden away. So the Republic of Ireland. It's amazing that we've not met each other since 1988. That was a friendly, played at the old Wembley Stadium. And it was part of the Football League Centenary Festival. Two 15-minute halves, which England won 2-0. But before that, we've met in qualifying for that 1984 finals and also the 1987 European Championships. And in total, we've met 6 times and we've won all 6 of them. Let's hope that that continues. And then France. We've met on 25 occasions. And like our record against Sweden, against France, we've only won 4 times. We've drawn 9 and lost 12 of those meetings. And of those 4 victories, only one of them has been away from home. In our second ever match, the England women back in 1973, we did beat France then. And in the 2017 Euros in the quarterfinals. And the last time we beat France at home was in 1974. When the draw was made, like many, I was right onto social media, seeing what people were saying, add my 2 pennies worth as well. But what I took was many were quite quick to say that we should easily qualify from this. And I have to be honest, whilst, yes, obviously I'd love us to qualify, I disagree that it's going to be an easy ride. Now, if you were to take the FIFA rankings, whilst we are second in them behind Spain, France are actually 3rd and Sweden 6th. Republic of Ireland are 25th, but they still will provide stiff opponents. In my opinion, it's one of us, France or Sweden, will be finishing 3rd. Equally, any one of those can finish 1st or 2nd. But finishing 3rd, whoever it may be, you have a playoff place, but that still makes it tough, doesn't it? I am not going to count any chickens on this. I'm just going to see how it pans out. Obviously, support the ladies. But yeah, let's just see where we are come the middle of July when our last fixture away to Sweden takes place. It would be a shame as holders if we weren't to be there. But I can understand why people think, yes, we will qualify from this group. Now, usually I'd be joined by Rich Laverty to look at the upcoming matches and that draw, but we couldn't make it work this time. What with his busy schedule, Easter falling, a few things that I had to do. So he just stuck with me, I'm afraid. let's take a look at the squad Serena has selected for those upcoming matches against Sweden on the 5th of April and Ireland away on the 9th of April. A 23-player squad. We've got three goalkeepers, Mary Earps, Hannah Hampton and Kiara Keating. Defenders, Lucy Bronze, Jess Carter, Neve Charles, Alex Greenwood, Esme Morgan, Millie Turner, Leah Williamson, Lotta Wubermoy. In midfield, Grace Clinton, Frank Kirby, Jess Park, Georgia Stanway, Ella Toon, and Kira Walsh. And up front, Rachel Daly, Lauren Hemp, Lauren James, Chloe Kelly, Beth Mead, and Alessia Russo. So there we go. It's a fairly strong squad, in my opinion. One with an average age of 25.2. It's got 915 caps across it and 178 goals. Beth Mead, the highest goal scorer within the squad with 32. She will no doubt be looking to add to that tally. Kiara Keating is the only uncapped player within the squad. She's also the youngest. Lucy Bronze, the most capped with 119. And she's also the eldest. Grace Clinton will be also looking to add to her impressive recent displays against Austria and Italy. Leah Williamson will also be hoping to add to her 43 caps. She's not played for the Lionesses since September 2022. She was selected for the last squad, but you may remember she withdrew with a hamstring issue. But since then, she's been a regular for Arsenal. Still no Millie Bright, and there was also news recently concerning goalkeeper Ellie Roebuck. Now, she announced on Twitter that she's been suffering from, now I hope I can pronounce this right, a left occipital infarct, which I had to Google, I have to be honest. It's a type of stroke, which is caused by a blood clot clogging an artery in the brain. So, wow. Wish her all the very best in her recovery. Hope to see her back between the sticks for Manchester City and for England as and when she's ready. But it is a squad with 6 from Manchester City, 5 from Chelsea, 4 from the League Cup winners Arsenal. Well done to them. They beat Chelsea by a goal to nil at the weekend at Molineux. Manchester United have got 3, 2 for Barcelona and 1 each for Tottenham, Bayern Munich and Aston Villa. Now, I'm sure you have seen the news and I wanted to touch on it as well. Steph Horton. On Wednesday the 27th, our former Lionesses captain, Steph Horton, announced that she was retiring from the game at the end of the current season. Steph is currently at Manchester City and has been since 2014. Prior to that, she was at Arsenal, Leeds and Sunderland. And where we perhaps know her best, though, is with England. Now, she made her debut for the Lionesses back in 2007 in a 6-0 victory over Russia, coming on as a substitute for Emily Westwood. Now, Steph would go on to make 121 appearances for the side, scoring 13 times, and she became captain in 2014. It's not been an easy ride all the way, though. It's been a career with a few injuries. She missed the 2007 World Cup in China with a broken leg, and also the following Euros in 2009 in Finland with a damaged cruciate ligament. But she made her World Cup debut in 2011, coming on in the quarterfinal defeat to France. She would then go on to play in all the group games in England's disastrous Euro 2013 home tournament. Remember that one? But the 2015 World Cup would be different. England, under Mark Sampson, finished third in Canada. In 2019, in France, England once again made it to the semi-finals, losing 2-1.
It's a penalty. Horton. Save by Alyssa Nair.
Horton was brave enough to step up to take a penalty in the 84th minute. It would have drawn England level. Unfortunately, it was saved. Her last appearance came in February 2021, when England beat Northern Ireland 6-0 at St George's Park under interim manager Hege Riise. Now, it was September of that year that Serena Weigman announced her first squad, and Horton was in it. However, she suffered an Achilles injury and had to pull out, and from then on was never able to force her way back, subsequently missing the Euro 2022 success. It's going to be interesting to see where she finds herself next. Of course, it's been well documented that her husband, Stephen Darby, he suffers from motor neurone disease. I imagine that she may take some time out, but it would be great to see her still involved with the game, especially within the game. From my own perspective, I think there needs to be more players or former players either managing or coaching, taking their badges, rather than becoming pundits. Yes, the pundits we have are great, but I think it might be just a bit of a too easy route. And I think it's well documented that the women's game needs more players to take the game forward. But whatever she does, I'd like to wish her all the very best in her way forward. Now, the day after Steph Horton announced her retirement, Thursday the 28th, it was announced that former England international Larry Lloyd had passed away, aged 75. Larry, a centre-half who had prolonged spells for both Liverpool and Nottingham Forest. He was born in 1948 in Bristol, and he began his career at Bristol Rovers. Moved to Liverpool, where he won the league and the UEFA Cup. He had a spell with Coventry before moving to Forest, where he won the League Cup, and the European Cup twice under Brian Clough. And it was whilst at Liverpool where he won the first of four caps, Alf Ramsey selecting him to play against Wales in May 1971. The game ended goalless. Later that year, he also played against Switzerland in a Euro qualifier. And aged 23, he won his third cap in a defeat to Northern Ireland a year later. He must have thought that that was the end of his England career, until 7 years and 356 days later, when Ron Greenwood selected him to play away to Wales. Sadly, though, it was a game England lost 4-1. Now, he's actually fifth in the current list of players with the longest interval between caps. And for the record, the player with the longest interval is Ian Callaghan, who waited 11 years and 49 days between his second and third cap, 1966 until 1977. Back to Larry Lloyd. He was England's 876th capped player. And I'd like to pass on my condolences to his family and friends. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm sorry it's been a little shorter than normal. If you are going to Wembley or over to Dublin, safe trips. Enjoy the games, even if you're watching it on telly. I'll be going to the Sweden game, so looking forward to that. Now, with it being the Easter holidays for schools, I'm going to go away for a short while after that Sweden game. So it's unlikely that there will be a review episode, I'm afraid. But I will return soon with some more England-related episodes. So stay subscribed and you won't miss them. And don't forget, you can follow the show on social media. Just search Three Lions Podcast, either on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's also on YouTube too. You can check that out under the podcast tab on YouTube. And don't forget, there's also the Ko-fi account. Now, if you'd like to contribute to the monthly hosting of the show, you're more than welcome to. Any contribution is gratefully received. Head to ko-fi.com/Three Lions Podcast, ko-fi.com/Three Lions Podcast. Thank you. So, until then, take care of yourselves. Cheers.